Soon Hiram's face shrank on itself, became innocent, boyish, and shriveled in a moment to an infant, and it was replaced suddenly by a woman's face. The woman was smiling at David, or rather at somebody behind the invisible wormhole viewpoint which hovered before her eyes. He had chosen from this point to follow the line of mitochondrial DNA, passed unchanged from mother to daughter, and so this was, of course, his grandmother. She was young, mid-twenties. Of course she was young. The DNA trace would have switched to her from Hiram at the instant of his conception. Mercifully, he would not see these grandmothers grow old. She was beautiful, in a quiet way, with a look that he thought of as classically English. High cheekbones, blue eyes, strawberry blonde hair tied up into a tight bun. Hiram's Asian ancestry had come from his father's line. David wondered what difficulty that love affair had caused this pretty young woman in such a time and place. And behind him, in the wormworks, he sensed that shadow drifting closer. He pressed at the joystick, and the rattle of days and nights resumed. The face grew girlish, its changing hairstyle fluttering at the edge of visibility. Then the face seemed to lose its form, become blurred. Bursts of adolescent puppy fat? Before shrinking into the formlessness of infancy. Another abrupt transition, his great-grandmother, then. This young woman was in an office, frowning, concentrating, her hair a ridiculously elaborate sculpture of tightly coiled plaits. In the background, David glimpsed more women, mostly young, toiling in rows at clumsy mechanical calculators, laboriously turning keys and levers and handles. This must be the 1930s, decades before the birth of the silicon computer. This was perhaps as complex an information processing center as anywhere on the planet. Already this past, so close to his own time, was a foreign country, he thought. He released the girl from her time trap, and she imploded into infancy. Soon another young woman stared out at him. She was dressed in a long skirt and ill-fitting, badly made blouse. She was waving a British Union flag, and she was being embraced by a soldier in a flat tin helmet. The street behind her was crowded, men in suits and caps and overalls, the women in long coats. It was raining, a dismal autumnal day, but nobody seemed to mind. November 1918, David said aloud. The armistice, the end of 4 years of bloody slaughter in Europe. Not a bad night to be conceived. He turned. Don't you think, Bobby? The shadow, motionless against the wall, seemed to hesitate. Then it separated, moved freely, took on the outline of a human form. Hands and face appeared, hovering disembodied.
Hello, David.
Sit with me, David said.
His brother sat with a rustle of smart shroud, smart cloth. He seemed awkward, as if unused to being so close to anybody in the open. It didn't matter. David demanded nothing of him. The armistice day girl's face smoothed, diminished, shrank to an infant, and there was another transition, a girl with some of the looks of her descendants, the blue eyes and strawberry hair, but thinner, paler, her cheeks hollow. Shedding her years, she moved through a blur of dark urban scenes, factories and terraced houses, and then a flash of childhood. Another generation, another girl, the same dismal landscape.
They seem so young,
Bobby murmured. His voice was scratchy, as if long unused.
I think we're going to have to get used to that, David said grimly. We are already deep in the 19th century. The great medical advances are being lost, and hygiene awareness is rudimentary. People are dying of simple, curable diseases. And of course we're following a line of women who at least lived long enough to reach childbearing age. We aren't glimpsing their sisters who died in infancy, leaving no descendants.
The generations fell away, faces deflating like balloons one after the other, subtly changing from generation to generation, slow genetic drift working. Here was a girl whose scarred face was marked by tears at the moment she gave birth. Her baby had been taken from her, David saw, or rather, in this time-reversed view, given to her, moments after the birth. Her pregnancy unraveled in misery and shame until they reached the moment that defined her life. A brutal rape committed, it seemed, by a family member, a brother or uncle.